The film director Jill Soloway said, "I'm always proselytizing to women. You know how to do this. It's almost so simple. I feel like Dorothy. I had the ruby slippers all along." On today's episode, I want to talk about being a first-time director on a film set and having absolutely no experience and never going to film school. That's what I did. I decided to direct having neither experience or education. I did things in college on camera, but it was all acting on camera. I've been on set, but it's all been mainly in the capacity of actor. I don't know about gear. Don't know what's good or bad. Some directors are really technically oriented. That's not me. I remember feeling a little bit more up to the challenge because Craig, my husband, is a photographer, and he told me about GAS, which is a phrase in the photography community. It's called GAS because it stands for gear acquisition syndrome, meaning that, oh, you got to get the perfect gear, man, before you can actually take that perfect shot. And Craig's always saying, you know, like, you got to just work with what you got. So in this moment of directing, I had to work with what I had, which was not much. So I want to tell you a little bit about that today and a little bit about the rules that I formed for myself in going into a project like this, as well as things that I came out of it learning. The first thing that I did to prepare was just generally watch a lot of movies and TV shows that lived in the same vein of what I was creating, just to kind of pick apart the structures a little bit. What were the camera angles they were using? What kind of jump cuts made sense? What was the action happening in the background while we're filming something in the foreground? Obviously, The Office is a great source for mockumentary feel, but I also wanted to get this feel of the illusion that we use via social media. I wanted to really feel like the ickiness a little bit, the sludge of it. And I found this great show. It was recommended to me actually by our DP Alexa and Sean, our amazing gaffer. It's called The Circle, and I think it was on Netflix. Maybe you've seen it, but it's basically a show all about social media and a reality show. There's not much to say about it. It's about social media and a reality show about that. So it's messy, it's goofy, it's really big and bright, and gave me context about what these characters in the film Scream Test were really going for. So, I mean, I watched a lot of stuff. I reread actually David Mamet's book on directing. I forget the name of it now. In the Blink of an Eye, which is a book about editing, actually. I think it's probably like one of the big classics. And even though I didn't edit this film, it was just helping me get an idea of what I might be looking for on set. And, you know, I wasn't a director, but I am and I was an actor and a writer. So those were the two perspectives I came at directing with. And, you know, it might be true for you that you're starting out something, whether it's directing or something else, and you don't have any experience in this lane, but there's another lane where you do have that experience. And I would just encourage you to lean on that, because there's something to be gleaned from any bit of experience that you've had that you can kind of drive into the work that you're attempting to do now, maybe for the first time. So when I say I came at it from an actor's perspective, there are a couple things that have to happen on set on a shoot for a film that I think is unique to film. In theater, which is what I was trained in and what I the majority of where I worked in my career, you have an energetic environment built up over time. You have weeks in rehearsal, if you're lucky. You're spending time with your castmates and the creative team and the crew in capacities, not just in the rehearsal space, but you're going to lunch together, you're getting a coffee, you're having conversations as you're, you know, coming in to work for the day. There are all these little ways that you build up camaraderie in theater. In film, that's a lot less organic. I think you have to really, in my limited experience, I think you have to really be intentional about creating that energetic environment. And it's almost more important, I think, on a film set than in theater, because in theater, again, once you get into performance, you still are creating an environment with the audience, you know, which can be tricky because that is not a kind of managed and stable reaction. You don't know if the audience is going to play along with you or not. But in film, you don't have all of these hours and times and moments to kind of bring you all together. So what I wanted to do for my actors and our cast was to create an environment for them as human beings who could feel, they could feel comfortable right away, and they could drop into whatever they needed to drop into, so that when the camera was rolling, there was no excess for them, no worries for them. They could just do what they had rehearsed on doing. And to that degree too, I should mention that we did have one rehearsal 2 days before the shoot where there were just certain things, because we had such a limited amount of time on set. We only had 12 hours in the space, and like I said, like 10 hours max shooting. I wanted to make sure that any tricky movement or blocking or any questions about the characters, we could kind of work on ahead of time. So we did have, I think it might have been like a two or three hour rehearsal ahead of time. So they did meet then, but I wanted, when each of them came on set, I wanted them to feel like, this is my home for the day. I'm comfortable. I can do what I need to do. I can ask what I need to ask for. I don't have to do anything except just show up and have a good time and, you know, make a movie. And, you know, actors are different. On film, it really, the camera picks up everything, right? So if you're not totally there, the camera's going to know. And different actors need different things. Some actors really want to, you know, see what we're seeing, take a peek at the footage as we're rolling. Some actors don't. They want to sit in the corner, keep their head down, create their own space, stay in character. And any one of those things is brilliant and wonderful and, you know, something that I wanted to uplift and honor. So in being a director, obviously, it was really important for me to create a space for the actors to thrive and to feel like whatever they needed to do, they had the space to do that. The second perspective that I came to the table with was obviously the writer's perspective. I wrote this script, so I was intimately familiar with it. And I had been writing for years. So I know what my process is like when I'm writing, when I'm editing. And basically, as soon as I get something in front of an audience, that is when I know what to edit. I'm like, oh man, no, it shouldn't have been like this. It should have been like that. I gotta change that word. I gotta change that phrase, that punctuation, whatever it is. And so when we got into shooting, I did not want the actors to feel super precious with the words, unless it was going to change the meaning. And there were a couple lines where, like, if we stumbled over a word, it would change the meaning, or there was just some kind of joke that needed to happen, and it could only happen if things were said in a specific way. But other than that, I wasn't super precious with every single line and every single detail. Part of that is because, you know, you want the actors to feel as comfortable as possible with your language, and sometimes it just sounds better when they say it a different way. And as long as it's moving the story along and it makes sense, let's go with it. The other part of that is when you're directing, you're looking at the shot, you're listening for, in our case, the footsteps of the people above us who we were told weren't going to be there and were there. So there are a lot of things that you're dealing with all at once. So that to me was not a high priority, to get every and the correct. And, you know, the third thing that I wanted to bring into the space, I guess, does really come from my theatrical background of collaboration. I was the director. I was the person on set doing, you know, making the calls and all of that. But I've always come from a collaborative background. And if I know that I don't know something, I want someone to tell me who does know. I don't want to bring my ego into making this, because if you're bringing on the right people, and we brought on so many amazing people. I mean, every single person was just top notch, from our cast and crew to creative team. And if you're bringing in those people, everyone's working on the same goal and towards the same end. So people will come to you and say, like, hey, what about this? Or, you know, I see what you're doing here, but like, what if we tried it like that? Great. You know, one example of that was Sean, our gaffer, just brought a ring light the day of the shoot, and there was no ring light written into the script. And he was like, you know, I was just thinking about how we were talking, you know, on when we did the location scouting day, what we were talking about this, that, and the other thing. I thought it could be really fun, and I happened to have access to one. Okay, great. And then that ring light ends up being a featured part of our B-roll, you know? And I want always an environment where people can bring that to the table. If it's not the right thing, it's not the right thing. But I want people to be able to feel free to say, hey, what about this? You know, one of the funny things that happened was, so you, I'm sure, even if you don't have experience with film, you've heard the phrase lights, camera, action, which is not exactly how you call it. In fact, I'm probably gonna get it wrong now, but you're supposed to say like sound, speed, camera, speed, action. And I think I was saying, if that's the way, it's now been many months, but if that's the way you say it, I was like messing it up. I was doing like camera and then sound or something and then action. And Lily, our amazing sound person, came up to me and was like, Courtney, it's supposed to be, you know, speed, camera, or sound, speed, camera, then action. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. I'm not trying to do 10 hours on set with everyone being like, wow, that woman doesn't know what she's talking about. And like, this isn't how we do it. It's like, come on, tell me. So that was great. I was so grateful for that. And it's just a small little thing, right? But it's like all of those energetic moments add up to a successful day on set, because you're going to run into issues. You're going to run into problems. Like I said, we had people upstairs banging around. So there are some shots that we had to do 7 takes of, when we had planned for 2 to 3 takes per shot. And, you know, there's stuff that's going to come up. So if all of the energy that is being poured into the day from your team is positive one, working towards the final product, working towards that common goal, you're gonna come out as best as you can. You know, I definitely wanted people to know that I was leading the ship and they could depend on me and I would have answers for them, but I wanted that collaborative feel. And you know, some directors work differently, and it is not my job to say what is right or wrong, but I just know that that's what works for me to bring the best product possible. When I was on maternity leave, I wasn't doing much creating artistically, just trying to keep my 1-month-old alive and healthy and well and thriving. So I was doing a lot of consuming and intaking of content, and I watched a lot of the Hollywood Reporter roundtables. I think I might have discovered them then, or maybe when I was pregnant. And I was like, oh my God, this is great. I love hearing different directors and writers and actors talk about their craft. And I remember distinctly listening to, I think it was Darren Aronofsky. I think he might have been talking about his film Mother, or, you know, something else. But I think it was him. He said, as a director, you're going to get so many questions about, you know, this costume piece or this tiny light shift, or, you know, what to have this character eating for lunch, you know, all these different questions that maybe you wouldn't have even thought of before. And he said, you know, what you have to figure out as a director, what is your theme? What is your central thesis of the film? And then every question gets filtered through that theme and that thesis. And I thought that was so brilliant on many levels, but I know in earlier episodes I've talked about how restrictions and restraints can be really helpful. And that is a great example, I think, of a technique to use as a director or as really anyone trying to make a decision about life, to be honest. What is the theme here? What is the thesis? And for me on Screen Test, it was all about identity and filters and, you know, the cast and I and, you know, the DP, we all would talk about, okay, what is the filter we're using here? How performative is this? What is the identity that this person feels is true versus what they're putting on? And, you know, it's not to say that every question is answered in the film. In fact, I think for me, the exciting thing about a film working is when it actually asks the audience to answer the question, or it at least prods the audience to ask more questions than they had been prior to watching the film. So it's not that you have an answer for everything, but it is that you use that theme or thesis to make decisions like the costume or the color scrim of the background or, you know, whatever it happens to be. And I thought that was really, really, I don't know, helpful. So I went into this process with some rules or philosophies for myself that I wanted to share with you. So as I noted in the last episode, I did not look for outside funding for this because I knew that I wanted to direct and I didn't know if anyone else would give me a shot at that. And I just wanted to do it. And, you know, I knew that I could do it. I also knew there would be a learning curve and I need a team around me that both believed in me and knew they could tell me when something needed to be tweaked or if they had experience with a suggestion that they felt comfortable sharing. I wanted them to feel comfortable doing that. So I really wanted to take the reins on this for a few reasons. The first one was I wanted to create a calling card. You know, I think if you are looking to do a project that is maybe brand new to you and you're not sure where to start, a lot of that I think happens because you're just like, well, I don't have experience. And it's like, well, how do you get experience? You got to do it. And I didn't necessarily think that this project was going to be, you know, a huge moneymaker or anything like that in a kind of traditional successful metric. But what I did want was for people to say, oh, that looks like something Courtney Romano made, you know? And I think that definitely is, you know, you're constantly growing your body of work. And this is something that takes time, you know, making films takes time. Writing a book takes time. Writing a piece of music, a piece of art, all of this takes time, but you are constantly building your body of work and constantly creating a portfolio for yourself. And I wanted director to be in my portfolio. So now I can say, hey, I made this and folks can get a sense of me when they watch this film. You know, it was never meant to make me money or make me famous or anything kind of outside the bounds of defining myself more and more as an artist, literally seeing if I could do it. And then, in hopefully a strategic move, use it as a proof of concept for the 14 million other ideas that I have about it. So that was the main kind of rule and idea I came into making this with. Also, I just learned, and I think I went into it thinking this, and I came out of this whole process reaffirming this, that no one project is the thing. You know, no one thing is your big break. I truly think that it takes a bunch of cracks, you know, in the armor, in the shell around quote unquote success. And that's defined by you, by the way, but it takes a lot of different chipping away and we're keeping at it. And I think that a lot of times we think, whoa, if I'm going to do a film, then it's got to be like the best thing I've ever done. Or, you know, my magnum opus, it needs to be the thing that defines me. It's like, no, it can be a thing that defines you. It does not have to be the thing that people know you by forever and ever. It's just got to be a start. And I think maybe 10 years ago, I would have thought, well, this is my shot. This is my big break, is making this film. And now, being a little older and a little wiser, I hope. It's just the next thing. That's all it is. And I think going into it with the pressure taken off and just saying, hey, this is my next thing, let's see where it goes, is actually substantially more powerful than going in with a strict idea of, hey, this is going to give me my big break. Which, if you've ever done that, and I'm raising my hand right now to have done that, you know that's never how it happens. The third thing was pick when to be precious with your work. So if you're working on something right now or looking to start something up, my advice is to take the preciousness out of it. Again, like, this doesn't have to be your magnum opus, you know, keep drilling on that behind the scenes and get out there in other ways. But also within the work that you choose, pick when to be precious. So some things I in the edit or on shoot day, I was like, no, I really want it this way. And let's try it another way for sure, so we have that, but I want this. And that's fine, you know? I think it's a balance of knowing when to let go and when to hold on. And that is only something you're gonna figure out. You develop your taste over time, you know? You can't come into something, oh man, I wish I had the Ira Glass quote. There's an Ira Glass quote that is so good about taste and about creating your taste and saying, like, okay, you come into whatever field you're in having good taste and wanting to get there, but you've got to kind of work to refine it, and you've got to get your skills and your technique up to speed behind your taste, and it takes time, and an overnight success takes years and years and years. So keep at it. And then the fourth thing that I wanted to do, and what again was reaffirmed as I came out of this process, was keep the stakes low and the respect high. So what does that mean? That means don't take anyone's time or attention or money for granted, ever. You know, when people give you their time, that is a huge contribution. And so respect that in everything that you do, from creating your shot list to if you're on the phone with them, to a meeting, whatever, just keep the respect of other people high, even if there's no money involved in the project. It doesn't matter. In fact, money is completely secondary to humanity. So, you know, respect high. Don't be precious, but do take it seriously. Take yourself seriously. Take your idea seriously. You know, no one wants to come in and work with someone who's not quite sure of their idea. Your idea is the thing that's going to start whatever it is you're working on in motion. So be confident about it. And confidence does not equal cockiness. You know, it's not like you're coming in saying, hey, this is the thing that's going to change everything in the world. You're just saying, hey, I'm interested in this, and this is what I've thought about it so far, and this is our jumping off point. That's it. That's confidence, right? Don't apologize for the idea. Also, don't be afraid to adjust and stay flexible. You know, you've got to, if you're confident about what you're doing, that flexibility is not going to be an issue. The last thing that I would say is, if you work with friends and if you're starting out anything new, whether you're making a movie, a film, or if you're doing some other kind of creative work that's really independent and freelance, if you will probably end up working with friends. If you are working with friends, they are your colleagues first in this setting and friends second. So that means don't assume just because they're your friends, they shouldn't be paid or they shouldn't be asked about something important, or they shouldn't be told all the details of what's going on, or their time should just be owed to you. You know, no one owes us anything. We owe everyone everything because they're helping this idea come to life. So staying humble, keeping the stakes low and the respect high, these are all things that, you know, whether or not you make the next Academy Award winning short film or not, these are things that are going to be part of your calling card. You know, make people feel like they want to collaborate with you. They want to work on this thing with you. And then you've got runway to do more and more and more. And we've talked about this on past episodes and will on future episodes. Your big break isn't necessarily just one thing that happens. It is the pathway that you laid to keep going on to the next and to the next and to the next. So whatever you can do to keep paving that path for yourself, that's what you got to do. All right, I'm going to wrap this one up today because we're going a little bit long. So I wanted to just remind you to leave me a message if you have any questions about any part of the directing process, the budget, writing a script, anything about it at all. Leave me a message. You can find where to do that. There's a link in the show notes. And if you go to anchor.fm/thebreakbreakdown, there will be a little button there where you can leave me a message. It might end up in the show. And also, you know, it's a podcast. So what am I going to say? I'm going to say subscribe, share, rate, and review. And truly, if you have someone in your life who you think might benefit from listening to this, please share it with them. And that's the best thing that you can do in terms of helping to support not only the podcast The Break Breakdown, but our short film Screen Test, which we'll be releasing this fall. Thank you guys so much for being here. As always, I'm so grateful. Have a great day.